Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy. Worthy all glory, all honor, all praise. You are highly exalted. You have been given the name above every name. And at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, you came to break the power of sin and Satan and to liberate us from ourselves, from our enslavement, Lord God, to sin. And we thank you, God, that you have sent, Lord, your Spirit, hallelujah, into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. We are now sons and daughters through the new birth, hallelujah. We've been raised up together with you and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh God, we look to you, God, because in you is salvation. There is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. God, thank you for new beginnings. New beginnings. And the title of the message today is New Beginnings. And welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming and joining with us this morning. God is so good. In reality, he's good, isn't he? Thank you, God. Aren't you glad that he's patient, that he's gracious, that he's merciful? You know, without the mercy and without the grace of God, no one would have hope. Amen. None of us are good enough. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus shed his blood. Amen. Because we couldn't save ourselves. We could not pay for our own sin. So God took the initiative. And in the person of his Son, the Word became flesh. God became a man. Amen. He became our sacrifice. And for you and me, he laid down his life. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. So loved you. How can we love you back, Lord? How can we say thanks for all the things you've done for us, Lord? Well, we can offer our bodies, can't we? Back to him as living sacrifices. We can be a vessel for him. We can become his temple. Because God does not dwell in temples made by hands, amen. But in you, in me, hallelujah. Christ in you, in me, is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. You know, this may seem like a strange place to start on an Easter message, but I want us to take a look at the book of Job. This is approximately 1800 to 2000 BC. Most believe when this was written. That was quite a few years ago. And in the time of Job's suffering, he found himself in a place where he started to reflect on his mortality and on his life and all the troubles that he had faced and was facing even at that time. And he is also becoming more and more aware of how quickly his life was passing him by. And he was asking the questions, really, whether or not, you know, he would be able to stand in the judgment, whether or not God would accept him. And so he's basically saying, what happens to me when I die? Will I ever live again? And I wanted to read from chapter 14 of Job, verse 1. He said, how frail is humanity, how short is life, how full of trouble. Here Job is just ranting. Have you ever found yourself ranting about stuff? Never? Okay. We'll have prayer for you afterwards. For verse 2, we blossom like a flower and then wither. Like a passing shadow, we quickly disappear. Must you keep an eye on such a frail creature and demand an accounting from me, speaking to the Lord? Who can bring purity out of an impure person? No one. You have decided the length of our days. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. So leave us alone and let us rest. We are like hired hands, so let us finish our work in peace. Even a tree has more hope. If it is cut down, it will sprout again and grow new branches. You know, have you ever received something from a child that was from God, and that child probably didn't even realize they were being used? Have you ever said something that afterwards you realize that was actually God speaking through you? And though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, as at the scent of water, it will bud and sprout again like a new seedling. But when people die, their strength is gone. They breathe their last, and then where are they? Understand that this is B.C. This is before the revelation that we have today, amen? And men were wondering, what happens? What, you know, everybody seemed to have an opinion, and they followed after their own gods and their own ideas and their own ways until God showed up one day, amen, and presented himself to Abraham. And that's when things began to shift, began to turn. And God had given a promise, didn't he, to Abraham, to his seed. And that seed was Christ. And he said, as water evaporates from a lake and a river disappears in drought, people are laid to rest and do not rise again. Until the heavens are no more, they will not wake up nor be roused from their sleep. So here is really a natural perspective on death. And I guess we just all go into the grave and that's it. Nothing more. So everything that we did in this life, all that we've labored for, suffered for, achieved, will all be for nothing. If that's how it all ends, could you say amen to that? What a hopeless perspective. I mean, if there's no afterlife. So we just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die, it's going to be over. What a measly existence, right? God has something much better, far superior to anything that we've ever tasted even here. God gives us a glimpse beyond, amen, by his Spirit and his Word. But what God has promised for those who are faithful, amen, and those who believe, is exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. God is an amazing God, isn't he? And you and I are eternal creatures. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the Bible says there's two choices, heaven or hell. And I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to go with Jesus because he's the only way to the Father. Can you say amen? He says, I wish you would hide me in the grave, but listen, and forget me there until your anger has passed. But mark your calendar to think of me again. Now here's the question. Can the dead live again? If so, this would give me hope through all my years of struggle. And I would eagerly await the release of death. Well, Jesus answered that question, didn't he? When he spoke to Martha, the sister of Lazarus. In John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus is basically saying that I am God. I have the power of resurrection and life in my hand. And I can raise Lazarus from the dead right now, and I'm going to do it, basically, because that's what he did. Jesus didn't just say he was that, amen, he proved who he was by what he did. You know, the same thing is true about us. If we claim to be followers of Jesus, there should be some evidence. There should be some proof. How many know that faith has evidence? Faith has substance. It's not just an intellectual agreement to something. And so in John 11, verse 26, he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, who else had that revelation? Peter. How did Peter come to know that? Because he says, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. that you're able to recognize who I am. And isn't it interesting, once again, that the religious leaders of his day, who were talking about the Messiah, you know, didn't recognize the Messiah when he came. Because you and I are incapable of knowing the true Jesus except by the Holy Spirit, to whom the Father reveals him to. And so, at the time of the Lord's return, there's going to be two classes of people. There will be those who have died in faith, and there will be those who are living at his return. The first group is described in the latter part of verse 25. It says, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." This means that those believers who have died before Christ's coming will be raised from the dead. Now, how do we know this? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." What did Paul say? Verse 8, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." I don't believe in soul sleep. Your soul is not going to rest in a corpse, a rotting corpse somewhere. All right? Paul is very, aren't you glad? Amen. But he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, this is the good news, is that if you are born again, if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, amen, and the Spirit of God is in you, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body, amen. There will actually be a glorified body, amen, in time. God is going to resurrect your body too, but this time it's not going to be a corruptible body. It's going to be incorruptible, amen, one that doesn't rot, one that doesn't get sick, that doesn't have pain, praise God. So in Christ we will receive a glorified body, just like Jesus rose bodily the third day, amen. So those who are alive at the time of the Lord's return on the earth and who believe in him shall never die. He's going to catch them away. They will be changed. They'll be taken to heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, God knows how to bring sweetness out of bitterness and give beauty for ashes. This corruptible must put on incorruption. That's why Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom. God doesn't patch up the old you. He doesn't do a little, what we call it, makeover. Some of you know what that is. He doesn't do a makeover on the old Adamic nature, the old fallen nature, the one that we're born with. Guys, this is the thing that people need to understand, is every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, right? We were born corrupt. We were born in sin. And that's why we must be changed. We must be transformed by the power of God. Amen? Because if you're in Adam, you're still in death. If you're in Christ, you're in life. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So just because you're a good person, naturally, doesn't save you. Because the old Adamic nature cannot inherit the kingdom. God doesn't accept it. The old man has to be put to death. The old you that you were born with must be crucified. You must unite yourself together with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. You must come into unity in Christ. Only in Christ is there eternal life. Because he is the resurrection and the life. So if I'm a good person, but I'm still an Adam, I'm still lost. I need to turn to the only one who can save me. The same one who died for me and rose again. That's how you're saved. Not, Lord, look at all the good things I've done, but Lord God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve you. I've got what's coming to me. That's the one on the cross, the man beside Jesus on the cross. He says, we're getting what we deserve. He had a repentant heart. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he was justified. This day you shall be with me in paradise. The other one just mocked and said, well, if you are the Christ, then get us down from here. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's the same thing that goes on today. Jesus said, if you will try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you'll find it. If you're willing to give him the old in exchange for the new, then you'll pass from death to life. You'll have a new beginning. You'll be a new creation. Not a patch up of the old, but a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, where the old is gone, the new has come. That's what God came to do. He came to deliver us from ourselves. Because we were born corrupt and therefore susceptible, amen, to the control of Satan. And that's why Jesus came also, not only to deliver us from ourselves, to break the power of sin, but also to break the power of Satan so that we could be free from his rule. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, hallelujah, we're no longer subject to that dude because we're under new management, new ownership. Amen? We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that has the name above all names, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. So we don't fear our adversary, amen, because Jesus has already dealt with him. Hallelujah. If you're in Christ and you rely upon the grace of God, you will also overcome just like Jesus overcame. Because all things are possible to them that believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Yes, with man, it's impossible. In our own human willpower and strength, we can only do so much. That's why we need to get over ourselves and realize I don't have what it takes to live right. How many here have been trying to live right all your life? Trying to live right, and you do good for a little while, but then you just blow it miserably. Why? Because the focus is on you saving you. You got to get your focus off you and get your focus on Jesus Christ, amen? And rely upon the grace of God freely given to him, amen, and to us, hallelujah, to empower, enable us to live a life that honors and pleases the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what God has done for us. He has set us free from canceled sin, amen, from the past, hallelujah. There's no longer he's going to hold it against you. He forgets it. That means he doesn't hold it against you anymore. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Amen. You become a child of God. Hallelujah. You can now call upon your Heavenly Father. Amen. And trust and know God hears you. See, often we'll come to God because we compare ourselves to maybe somebody else and say, well, I'm not as bad as that guy, so maybe God will hear me because I've been really exceptionally good today. And if I haven't been good, if I made some mistakes, if I had a wrong thought, somebody cut me off in traffic, whatever it was, you know, now God's not going to hear me. No, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. That's it. Don't let that devil drag you in the mud anymore. Amen. If Christ has forgiven you, receive the gift of forgiveness. It's a gift. Hallelujah. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. It's called grace. Amen. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I quickly get it dealt with. Amen. I don't go have to drag this ball and chain of guilt and shame around all day long. Right, right. Oh, you're no good. You're miserable. You call yourself a Christian. That's the enemy, you know. When the accuser starts pointing a finger at you, you turn to the advocate. Amen. Jesus Christ. He is our defense attorney. He ever lives to make intercession on behalf of his people, us. We call upon him. Amen. Because we love Jesus, we don't want to do the things that grieve him anymore. If his spirit is within you, amen, if you are truly born again, amen, you have a new desire in you even. Hallelujah. And when you blow it, you know it. Amen. And you want to get it right. God knows how to turn that bitterness into sweetness. Amen. He can turn that situation around. The good news is it doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. It doesn't matter how bad you've sinned. Jesus paid for every one of those sins. Every one of those sins. Paid in full at the cross. He took those things that were written against us, amen, the handwriting of ordinances, and we broke the rules, broke the law of God, amen. He took that out of the way and nailed it to his cross, fulfilled, amen, in Christ, hallelujah. Taken care of, hallelujah. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. For me, he died, he became my sacrifice. God wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to walk free of fear of death, free of condemnation. He wants us to walk free of shame and guilt. The enemy wants to just put that ball and chain on you and bog you down and make you constantly regret the decisions you've made in your past. Why? Because he's a thief. He came to rob, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, "What? I have come that you might have life. Life more abundantly. New life, new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I don't have to share with you all the ugliness of my past, but let me just tell you, there was plenty of it. Amen. But God in his mercy has forgiven me. Hallelujah. The slate is clean. Amen. I'm not receiving it back. The devil would love to offer it back to me. And for a season in my life, especially when I was a new Christian, he was always doing that. And I didn't know what to do with it. So I had to get saved every week. Over and over and over again, the same old sin. I had to come to the place where I just said, God said, if I confess it, he will forgive it. Amen. Go on with your life. Hallelujah. Don't live in that place anymore. But if you receive the mercy and the grace of God, don't receive it in vain. Amen. Give your life back to him, to serve him, to honor him. Amen. Because you and I represent him in this world. We are his ambassadors. Amen. So we want to honor the Lord. Amen. That paid such a price for us. But guys, you got to come to the place where you realize you're not good. Just because you do good, now I feel good. I do bad, now I'm bad. What kind of bondage is that, right? You're a bad person because you did a bad thing. Okay. Well, none of us are good apart from Jesus. You got to finish the sentence. But in Christ, I have goodness because he is my goodness. In Christ, I have what? Righteousness because he is my righteousness. I didn't say I'm righteous. He's my righteousness. He makes me the righteousness of God in Christ. So I'm righteous in the righteous one. See, this is why so many people are constantly bound up. Because they're trusting in themselves to save themselves by how well they perform or don't perform. And so you're really under the law. It may even be a law under yourself, a law that you set for yourself, standards you set for yourself. And God says, get over yourself. Quit looking to you. Look to me. I've taken care of it. I've overcome. My grace is sufficient. My power is available to you. Let's hook up. Let's yoke up. Let's join together. Let's partner. Let's do this together. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I overcome. But not in my own ability, but in the ability that God Christ supplies to me. He empowers our lives. That's why if you're in Adam, you may be trying to be a good person. But if you're honest, you'll say, I know I'm really not. Now, I may have people convinced around me that I'm a good person. But God sees through the facade, doesn't He? He looks into that secret heart where we really live. And that's the place where we want to yield, amen, to the Spirit and say, God, do that work in me. Lord, come into my heart. Amen. Cleanse me, purge me, make me whole. Hallelujah. Because I can't save me and I don't have the strength to live right. So I've got to get over me and start leaning on, trusting in Jesus now. And when I do, I have victory. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied about the resurrection, 700 BC, approximately. Isaiah 26:19, he says, your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. And again, a lot of times the prophets prophesied things that they didn't even really understand what they were saying. God just said, say this. Have you ever done that? You ever said something that you knew God was telling you to say, but you didn't quite have the full revelation of it? You just said, okay, Lord, you want me to say that? I'll say that. And then sometimes after you've said it, then later on God will give you the revelation of it when you're ready for it. Because God just simply wanted to work through you to touch somebody else and bring a revelation to somebody else. Now, the leper in the Old Testament was a type of the sinner. They were highly contagious. They were isolated from the rest of society. The leper had to wear mourning clothes and leave their hair in disorder. They had to cover their beard. And they had to walk around crying out, what? Unclean, unclean. So as to be avoided. And guys, that's just the way it is when it comes between you and God, amen? Apart from Christ, apart from His righteousness, apart from His cleansing and His healing, amen? We're all like that leper, that we're not qualified to be in God's presence. But God, look at all the good things I do. You're still disqualified because sin disqualifies you from being in His presence. You got to deal with the sin problem. And really, you can't. Jesus is the only one that really can. And when He changes your heart desires the things that He desires. Your heart begins to hate the things that God hates. If you're still an Adam, then you're just going to still enjoy the sinful things that you do. And you may even set up a scale in your imagination thinking, well, if I just do enough good to outweigh the bad, then I should be able to go to heaven. The problem is that sin cannot be in His presence. The only way that we're qualified to be in His presence is by His grace and His mercy. Not by my works, lest I should boast, right? You and I are just like that before we knew Jesus. And so there was a law in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 through 7. It was called the law of the cleansing of the leper. And you know, if you look at the Old Testament, you can see a type and shadow of the fulfillment which was in Christ. Now, the leper was to be brought to the priest. There was two living and clean birds presented. Cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop. Now, cedar wood and hyssop is really cedar is a lofty tree. It's a tall, majestic tree. Amen. And hyssop is just a little shrub, basically. It grows in the sides of the crags of rocks. And so you see that no matter who you are in society, amen, either you're, if you say you're up and out or you're down and out, okay, whether you're a cedar or you're a hyssop, amen, this really speaks about God's judgment on all men. Amen. So one's position or title in society does not make them qualified to be in God's presence. Amen? We all have to come the same way, and that is through the cross, in repentance. Scarlet is associated with sins. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Hyssop is also associated with inner cleansing. Psalmist said in Psalms 51:7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." So this is how it went. They would take one bird and kill it. There was two living birds, remember? Clean living birds. One would be killed over a clay jar that contained spring water or moving water sometimes. They would dip the living bird in the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet in the blood of the slain bird, right? And water of the slain bird, and sprinkle seven times upon the leper. So they would take, amen, the living bird, dip it in the blood of the slain bird, all right, with the hyssop, right, with the scarlet, with the cedar wood, all together. Now, all these things speak of the cross. All these things speak of Christ's sacrifice for us. And they were to sprinkle seven times on the leper and pronounce him clean. And then, this is the cool thing, then they would take the living bird and release it to the open field. This is a type of resurrection. Amen. The old died and the new has come. Amen. In mercy, the leper was released. He was pronounced clean then. No longer under restraint or confinement or bondage. In many ways, again, leprosy is a type of sin. It renders a man unclean. It excludes him from the camp of God and the people of God, and it made the victim miserable. That's what sin does, doesn't it? It promises you that you're going to feel good, but you always end up feeling miserable afterwards. And that's why there needed to be an application of blood, which really is speaking of the blood of Christ. And the running water speaks of the Holy Spirit's regenerating work in the cleansing of the leper. So you need the water, amen, and the blood. Hallelujah. And the same thing is true today, guys. We receive the word of God, faith, amen, in what? In the water and the blood. Our faith in the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, amen. And God's blood, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus, amen, declares that we are now clean. Amen. We're no longer a leper, but we're free to go back, amen, into, if you will, God's society. Hallelujah. When we turn to the Lord in repentance and faith today, the death and resurrection of Christ is reckoned to our account. And that's what makes us clean, guys. Not me turning over a new leaf, changing a few things around, trying harder. But my faith, my confidence has got to be in Christ alone. When I am humbled before the Lord, it means that, Lord, I beat my breast. I say, I can't save me. I'm nothing but a sinner apart from you. Amen. And I declare that before the Lord. Amen. And the Lord gives his grace to the humble. Amen. He resists the proud. He resists the one who compares himself to others or the one who comes before God with his list of all the good things that he's done, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. Isaiah said. We must be born again. It's by the grace, the mercy of God that we're saved. Hallelujah. And this is the good news, is that Jesus said, "Those who come to me, I will no wise cast out." Sometimes we say, well, I'm just too dirty. I'm just too unclean. I've done too much wrong in my life. How could God ever forgive me? Listen, it doesn't matter how many or how little. The bottom line is we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Jesus paid for all of that in full. Hallelujah. Not only can you escape the wrath of God, amen, be able to stand in the judgment, But you can also walk in freedom today as a new child of God. Amen. Born again. Hallelujah. With a hope and a destiny that God has for you. That's so good. Hallelujah. The fact that Jesus rose from the grave proves that His sacrifice on our behalf was approved by God the Father. Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, speaking of Jesus, He entered the holy, most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hallelujah. And the resurrection of Christ also means that we have, I already said, a great high priest representing us, amen, in heaven. Hallelujah. You remember, it was the high priest in the Old Testament, amen, that had to go behind the veil, amen, into the holy place once a year, never without blood. Amen. He had to be clean. As you know, they would put a bell around his ankle, and they would attach a rope to his ankle, amen. And they would listen for that bell, amen. If that bell, he went behind that veil into the most holy place where God's presence, Shekinah glory was, amen. If that bell stopped ringing, that means that he was struck dead by the holiness of God, and they would have to pull him out with a rope. You understand? God cannot look on sin. And that's why we need the blood of Christ. That's why we need the mercy of God. Amen? So that we can be qualified to come to our Father. You see, it's not that God hates people. He hates sin. And because He's holy, He cannot be contaminated by it. And so the very holiness of God is that which would slay a person and condemn them. You see, God's heart is to save. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance, that they come to the end of themselves, that they realize that I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, I need Jesus to save me. And if we come and humble ourselves and are willing to admit it, that I'm a leper and I need cleansing, to present yourself before the high priest, so that the blood of Christ, amen, can cleanse you and make you clean and make you pure again. Hallelujah. I've got a clean heart today, do you? I haven't always had a clean heart. I had to come to a place in my life where I realized, just like everybody else that's ever been born, we're all sinful and separated. So some people think, well, you just think you're holy. No, I don't. I'm just different now. I'm just like anybody else. Amen. Without God, without Christ, I'm just a sinner like everybody else. But I realized my need of Him, amen, my desperate need of Him, amen. And God brought me to a place where I began to realize also my own mortality like Job. And I felt like I was going to die. And I began to wonder what's going to happen to me. I got scared. I was fearful of dying. So I cried out, Jesus, forgive me. Right where you're at today, would you just say that? Jesus, forgive me. Do you want a salvation today? Just repeat it. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. And You rose again on the third day. Lord, I know I can't save myself. I believe You died in my place. You paid for my sins, that I could be forgiven. Lord, I want a clean heart. I confess to You that I am sinful, and I ask You to cleanse me from all my sin. Wash me. Make me clean. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Make me a new person. I want to serve You. Give me Your power that I can live for You. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Guys, and here it is. The resurrection of Jesus. Once again, it means that we can be made righteous in God's sight. Romans 10 and 6 says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here it is, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, just believing that Jesus died on that cross for your sins is not enough to save you. The devil believes that too. There has to be faith mixed together with the word that you hear. Faith is a verb. It's active. It requires an action on our part. We have to agree with the Spirit of God. We have to receive His counsel, His wisdom, His word, and say, Lord, I'm going to act on or apply this word to my life. Now, we just read that it's not enough just to believe in your mind or assent to something that actually happened, historical Jesus. I believe that he walked the earth. Yes, he went to the cross. He died. And I even believe he rose again on the third day. That doesn't save you. What saves you is faith in Jesus' blood. Amen? What saves you is you coming to a place in your life where you say, I realize that I am sinful. I am in Adam. I am separated from God. I tried to save myself. I can't. I'm coming to Jesus, and I'm going to offer him the whole thing. I'm going to give him my whole life. I'm going to lay my life down at the altar of sacrifice that I might find it again in him, a new life. That's how it works. It's more than just saying a simple prayer, guys. It means I must be repentant in my heart towards God. Amen? For with the heart man believes unto what? To repentance. He believes unto salvation, but it requires repentance. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And there must also be a confession with your mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, I'm going to challenge you. Amen. To obey the Lord and His instruction. To repent. Put your faith in Jesus, in His blood, and what He's done for you on your behalf. And confess him with your mouth. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Holy Father and the angels. Amen. So today, we have to make up our mind who we're going to serve. We have to make a decision, as an act of your will, who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Amen? So I'm going to challenge you today. I want you to make a decision for Jesus. Amen? You're here today. Maybe you've never really surrendered your life. I'm not talking about giving God a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Amen? You have to give him your whole life. In fact, Bruce said it on Wednesday night. There was somebody sitting in here. He says 80% is not enough. 90% is not enough. He says that's that 10 or 20% that you hold back from God that's going to keep you tethered to your old life. And you won't come free. You've got to come to a place where you're 100% saying, that's it. I'm done with me, with my ways. I'm ready to walk with Jesus now. I'm ready to give him my whole life. I'm going to live for him the rest of my days. I'm going to serve him the rest of my days. I am surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. How many think that's a pretty good exchange? Amen? The old for the new. Amen. Death for life. Cursing for blessing. That's what God came to do. Hallelujah.